Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Here I am in the famed Stade-upon-Thames, famed Staines-upon-Thames that Ali G made world famous. Anyway, behind me is the lodge of what was Jamanagar House, since demolished. So it relates to a very fascinating character. I'm surprised that more people don't know about him in Staines. I was born in 1877, Ranjit Singhji. Eventually became Colonel Sir Sri Ranjit Singhji, and I can't remember the next name, the second. He was born in Katiawar in the west of India. It's now, I think, what we call Rajasthan, into a Hindu family, Rajput family. Anyway, and he was from a minor landowning family, but his distant relative was the prince of whichever princely state of Katiawar. Remember, India has something like 585 princely states in the British era, some of them tiny, just like large farms, one of them Hyderabad bigger than France, and this was indirect rule. So his distant relative had a son who he thought was completely unsuitable for succession, so he was disinherited, and then his relative was trying to choose other people, but they kept getting assassinated, poisoned, because people didn't want this person or that person to succeed. So eventually, his distant cousin chose Ranjit Singhji as his heir. Anyway, Ranjit Singhji showed promise in his books, became fluent in English. Remember, in the 19th century, very, very few Indians spoke English. And of course, literacy was very low, it was only about 20%. And he was decided to be educated here in Cambridge. And his family were fervent supporters of the British Raj. So he came to Cambridge University in the 1890s. He learned cricket in India and distinguished himself. So he did fairly well at Cambridge. I don't remember which college it was, but sport was his abiding passion. And in the summer, he trained assiduously, had professionals to coach him. He's best known as a batsman. I don't know anything about cricket. But so he played for Cambridge University, got his blue. He actually left Cambridge without a degree. He thought about reading for the bar. You weren't required to have a degree to be a barrister until the 1960s, but almost all of them did before that. But he ran out of funds, because despite being from a princely family, money was somewhat tight, because obviously the cost of living an upper-class lifestyle was expensive for a Briton, but just ruinous for an Indian. And there's only so much that his distant cousin would advance him. So he's having to get loans, robbing Peter to pay Paul, loans to pay off other loans. And he spent an awful lot of time here. And then he bought this place. Well, it was a lodge which was demolished after his death over there towards the river, because it's a private estate. And then he played for Sussex. He played cricket, but it was all amateur. Come on, gentlemen, don't take money for sport. And some people thought that even hiring a professional to coach him was a bit of a no-no. To pay all your own expenses, travelling to places, staying in the hotel for these test matches. He also represented England. There was no colour bar. He went on a tour of Australia. And Australia was considered very hick in those days, really the edge of the civilised world. But he came back and spent most of his time in or around London. And then finally he had to go back to India, because people were saying, well, you had this education, you're prepared to take over princely state, finally come back. He went back to India in 1903. 3 years later, his relative died, and then he was the new Raja of that state. He didn't stay long, and he actually spent a lot of his time, came back to England again. But in the First World War, he was back in India, and then he gave his estate to the British government, saying to be used as a hospital for wounded soldiers. So he was an absolute imperialist, and really believing the British Raj was best for India, which was not that unusual amongst princes at the time. Anyway, he never married, never had any children, but he was heavily criticised in the media, both here and in India, saying that he spent extravagantly, he ignored his state, he spent too much time in the United Kingdom, so people are paying him money from his state, and he's largely spending it overseas. So he played cricket as long as he was healthy. He was part of the Indian Chamber of Princes, a sort of House of Lords, if you will, of hereditary rulers that was set up after the First World War, eventually became Chancellor of that. But even they wanted some mild reforms from the Britannic authorities. So he had lots of nephews he was close to and encouraged them to play cricket. He died in 1932. He had a bit of a contretemps with Lord Willingdon, who was the Viceroy at the time in the early 1930s. So he died in 1933, cremated, and his ashes scattered in the Holy River Ganges. And that's all that remains, this lodge. And that's how big the lodge is. Imagine how big the stately home was. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. And there's down there, there's a close which is named after a princely state, Jamanagar. Okay, goodbye, everyone.